Good morning to you all. Welcome. It's lovely to see you for those of you who are joining us on Zoom. And if you are watching the live stream on YouTube or a recording, it is great to have you with us. We hope and pray that you will be enriched and encouraged by your time sharing with us this morning or wherever and whenever that may be. My name is Paul. It's my joy to serve as the Youth and Outreach Minister here at Brimbank Church of Christ and also to bring the message to you, followed by Communion. I'm just going to get my PowerPoint screen ready so I can share. So that should just give me one moment. Okay, so you should now be seeing my screen for the message today. So today we're going to be talking about the second part of our eldership series, looking at part two, the flock, and we're going to be looking at just one verse of scripture. And that is taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, and it says this: "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." Let us pray that God would reveal to us what he wants to say through this word. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the words that you have breathed that is living and active, that we can take and use as our sword of the Spirit in this life. Lord, we pray that whatever it is you would have to say to each and every person who is hearing this message, that it would be your words that are heard and not my own, Lord, and that you would reveal more and more of yourself through our time together. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So last week we looked at some of the qualifications, the qualification list for being an overseer of God's church, someone who cares for and manages God's household and looks after his people. And today we're going to be looking at what is the role of us, the people who are the flock that is actually cared for in this. And there's two elements we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to be looking at it from I guess an earthly perspective, if you will, because Brimbank Church of Christ, although we are a spiritual body of believers and part of the body of Christ in that way, we are also a legal organization. We are a legal entity that has to abide by certain government regulations and laws that apply to any organization that operates here in Australia. So there is a strange intersection when it comes to talking about the board of elders and the leadership team, as they are known, because the role is both a spiritual function, but there are also some earthly and legal functions. But ultimately, we're going to tie it together and look at what we, the members of the church, the flock, are responsible for in this relationship. And there are four things, but in two sections that we are responsible. When it comes to eldership, we, the flock, are responsible for discerning and appointing the elders. And we are responsible to obey and submit to the leadership of the elders. So we are to discern and appoint, and we are to obey and submit. We'll look at those, each of those in a bit more detail through the message this morning. But let's start with the earthly side of things. Now, if you haven't read the church's constitution, I would actually recommend it. It is a really good document to read. I can't say that it's a page turner, or that you're really going to enjoy, particularly that it's a riveting read, as it were. However, it is a very worthwhile document, and I would encourage everyone to actually look through and have a decent understanding about how our church actually legally operates as an organisation, because as particularly if you are a member, it's an important thing for you to know. So I do have some things from the church constitution to share with you this morning. So this is about appointing overseers, which we talked about last week, members of the leadership, which is what they're known as from a legal standpoint. So candidates for the leadership may be nominated to the leadership by any member. The leadership will, at its discretion, determine which candidates are put to the membership for a vote and may interview candidates as to their suitability, having regard to the criteria set out in clause 6.2, which I was talking about last week about the qualifications for elders. The names of the candidates shall be brought to the membership at least 2 weeks prior to a vote on appointment being taken. The election shall be by secret ballot, and a candidate must receive at least 66% of the vote in order to be appointed. So that sort of summarizes our role from a legal organizational standpoint around eldership. So as our process goes, nominations for the leadership, as have been mentioned, are now open. So as any member can nominate any other member for a position on the leadership team. Now, this must be after prayerful consideration. Remember from last week that we spoke about how elders are actually appointed by the Holy Spirit. It is God who chooses the people that will oversee, care for, and manage his household. He is the ultimate person who decides. It is our job as his earthly representatives, as everyone, as part of that priesthood of all believers, our job is to be discerning and prayerful about who he is appointing and make sure we are appointing the people that he has in fact chosen. So prayerful consideration is essential for any nomination for eldership. All members can and should vote. If you are, according to the Constitution, any enrolled member of the church has the right to cast a vote in that secret ballot. There is nothing in the Constitution that says that you absolutely must. However, I would strongly encourage you that if you are a member, that that is a responsibility you take quite seriously, to prayerfully consider the candidates who are named and to vote according to your prayers. And in an ideal situation, we would find that there should be a very good, strong sense of agreement around who the appointees are, because that is the way the Holy Spirit works. He will lead his people to the right decisions if we are prayerful and trusting that he will. And finally, this is just a point to note. If you're not an enrolled member of the church and would like to be, please let us know. If you would like to have a role in the decision-making life of Brimbank Church of Christ, you must be an enrolled member. Everybody is welcome to attend any of our services at all times, and people are even welcome to join and sit in and listen to our annual general meeting if they so choose to. However, in order to actually vote at the AGM, you must be a member. And in order to vote for nomination, vote for appointments of eldership, you must be an enrolled member. So that if this is not you, or you're not sure if it's you and you'd just like to check, please let someone on the leadership team know. You can get in touch with myself as well, and we will check to make sure. And we will, if you aren't and would like to be, we can then start that process, because we would love to welcome you formally into enrolled membership. So that is our process. We nominate, we discern, and we appoint. Now, this is not an biblically unprecedented idea. Whilst it is a legal structure that we operate by, we do actually see it happening in Scripture. So after Judas Iscariot has left the 12, to use a euphemism, they need to appoint someone to replace him. And so they nominated two men, Justus and Matthias. Then they pray, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen." Then they cast lots, which is a form of voting, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. But we can see the process that we use playing out somewhat in Scripture there. And there's another one, which is where the Holy Spirit appointed Barnabas and Saul. Like, while they were fasting and praying and worshiping, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers is something that Paul says to the Ephesian elders, which is something that we looked at last week in Acts chapter 20, 28. I don't know how I can be any more clear than that, but elders are chosen by the Holy Spirit. The appointment of elders is not a popularity contest. It is not a political exercise. It is a deeply spiritual exercise. We must discern before we appoint. We must discern before we appoint. It is all about understanding what God's will is and then following through in obedience to that. Once elders are appointed and they stand in positions where they keep watch over us, our role is then to obey and submit. Our passage from Hebrews chapter 13 says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority." Now, in order to understand exactly what's being asked, I went back to the original Greek words which are used in this particular passage. Now, you may notice if you are using a different translation of the Bible that almost every translation other than the NIV actually says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority." It is translated as "obey and submit" in most biblical translations. However, "have confidence in your leaders" is there because technically it's a different word to the one that is usually used for obey. So the two words we have are patheste and hypakete. Both of these words are known in Greek grammar and in English grammar as well, actually. They are passive imperative verbs. So they are essentially written as commands. They're not written as suggestions. They are written as commands, and they are written as the person on whom the command is acted upon, as opposed to the person acting. So the word patheste actually comes from the word patho, which means to persuade, to persuade someone. However, in the passive form, it means be persuaded, So the command that Paul is giving, well, sorry, I shouldn't say that because we don't actually know for sure who wrote Hebrews, but the command is be persuaded. It is important that we be persuaded by those in leadership over us, particularly and specifically our elders. We must be persuaded by them. That is translated as obey, but when we look at the nuance of the word, we understand that it's not a blind obedience situation. It is a robust and dynamic relationship where, because we know that our elders have been appointed by the Holy Spirit, we are therefore able to be persuaded by them because we understand that they are the ones who God has appointed to take care of us and to manage God's household. So we are persuaded by their point of view rather than insisting our own way is better than theirs. And secondly, it says submit, which is not, oddly enough, the usual word for submit that we find in scripture either. The word hypakete, this verb hypakete, is used only once in scripture here in Hebrews. You don't find it anywhere else in the New Testament at all. And so I had obviously they have to use other Greek texts, which of course the Greeks like to write about war. So there's plenty of references to it in other ancient Greek writings, but it's the idea of in combat, resisting combat no longer, to yield, to give way to another, to submit. So when we look at these two words in concert, we can see the idea that is being presented, that we are to allow ourselves to be persuaded by those in leadership, be persuaded by our elders, and to stand aside to ensure that the direction that they are taking us is the direction that we go, rather than standing against them and putting an obstacle to them in our way. Now, these two words can come as quite a shock to us, particularly because we live in a very individualistic and a very self-focused culture, which is all around us. Everyone obeys and submits to themselves and themselves only. That is the general way of our world. However, so naturally it comes as a bit of a shock to Western Christians, this idea of being in obedience and submission to someone else. But when we look at it holistically in terms of the whole of scripture and what it actually entails to be a leader, the understanding alone that our leaders, our elders are actually appointed by the Holy Spirit should be more than enough for us to actually be persuaded by them and not resist them in the path that they are leading us, but rather support and encourage them. However, the scripture goes on here to talk about some of the other reasons why we should do this. First of all, they keep watch over us. The word for keep watch is actually one that suggests going without sleep, standing guard. They protect us. It's a very, very important role that they fulfill in our own lives and in the lives of those that we love and care for around us in our church family. And they are those who must give an account. We have to remember that their role as elders, that the role of people who oversee and watch over us, will give an account to God for how well they have performed in the office that they have been bestowed. It's a really, really significant thing. It is a strict and high standard that God has. That is why he lists all of those qualifications in Timothy and Titus for those who would be overseers, because they must give an account. The standard to which they are held is higher than that of the average Christian, because they must give an account for watching over and caring for and managing God's household. It's a noble task, but it's a serious undertaking. And because it is of that, we need to, as the flock, we need to recognize how significant and serious that is and not make it any more difficult for them by being obstinate or being challenging. It's an unfortunate state of affairs that we often find in many churches, particularly congregational churches, of which Springbank Church of Christ is one. We are congregationally governed, where we elect and we appoint our elders and our leadership, and then we spend the rest of the time undermining the leadership that they actually have. And unfortunately, I've seen in my own history a number of churches who've been torn apart by this sort of thing, and it can become really, really sad to see. Fortunately, I've also seen some wonderful examples of healing when we've come back to submit to the Holy Spirit and an understanding that God wants harmony and unity in his household. It is a very important thing that we, the flock, understand our position in that, in the priesthood of all believers, but also in the hierarchy of God's household. We need to do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. That would be of no benefit to us. Some translations put that as it would be unprofitable. B Being an elder, being in leadership in a church is meant to be a joyful task. It is meant to be one that is gladly taken up because it is something the Holy Spirit has called you towards and it's something that the Holy Spirit has equipped you for. It should not be a burden, and sadly, it can become that way too often. If the leadership are burdened and burnt out and struggling to keep track with all of the, the complaints and the problems that might be brought before them, it can easily become an unpleasant and burdensome task that they are forced to carry on in order to preserve the life of the church and keep things to a manageable level. And this is not the way it is meant to be. It is meant to be a joyful task. It is meant to be something that leaders are meant to take on with great alacrity because they are looking forward to what God has for them in their role, and God is stretching them in their own gifting. And it is a really important thing for we, the flock, to be aware of this, to make sure we are submitting to their leadership, obeying and being persuaded by the direction that they are leading us in their own submission to the Holy Spirit, whom they are accountable to, because we want them to be filled with such great joy. Because if our leadership is struggling and our leadership is burdened, then that is only going to be an anchor for the church rather than a propeller to drive it forward. So I want to leave you with one final controversial thought that you can take away with you and, you know, maybe send me texts or letters about if you don't think it's, if you want to challenge me on it, because I'd love to have this conversation. But it's a oversimplification, but I'm going to stand by it. It's not the elder's job to keep the church happy. It's the church's job to keep the elders happy. We submit to them so their work will be a joy, not a burden. It's not their job to keep us happy. It's our job to keep them happy. They should be serving with joy. And if our elders aren't serving with joy, or we can see a lack of joy and more of a burden going on, we probably need to have a really good long, hard look at ourselves and wonder, okay, what's going on? Am I adding to their burden or am I adding to their joy? Like I said, it's an oversimplification and it's quite a challenging statement, but I stand by it because I think it's an important challenge for each and every one of us to learn to wrestle with. Will you please pray with me? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the way that you have put in place different structures for the way we as churches can operate so that we can advance your kingdom and your mission. Lord, we know that at times it can be difficult and our own human brains get in the way and we struggle with various things. But Lord, we just want to thank you for your grace and your forgiveness in those situations. But we pray that we would be a people that understands it is you who are ultimately the head of our church, that it is you who is ultimately in charge and appointing and putting things in place and ordaining them as you would have them. And we pray that we, your people, would submit to your rule in all of this. Lord, thank you for our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen.